Thank you for those wonderful songs tonight by every one. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. Isn't it good to be saved? Amen. The word of the Lord says that you and I have been given a great salvation. A great salvation that must not be neglected, but instead should be developed, worked out. By that I don't mean that you have to work out your salvation to get to heaven, but rather that God has put something wonderful down inside of you that has the ability to bear out fruit that will be such a blessing to those around you if you would just simply quit being so lazy. And if you would quit being so slothful. And if you would quit being so selfish and negligent of what God has deposited down inside of you. So that you, the Bible says you're to work out these things. Salvation is through a person, by grace, through faith. Our righteousness has been imputed to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that our salvation is secure. We know that. But my friend, I'm telling you, God did not save you just to take you to glory. He saved you that you might glorify Him between now and then. Now I want you to notice something here in Hebrews chapter number 3. Now listen, there are going to be some times in your life that you are going to grow faster than others. That's just the way life is. You know, sort of like when a kid's about 6 to 8 or maybe 10 years of age, somebody sees him about a year later who doesn't live with him. They said, man, you have just shot up like a tree. Well, sometimes that happens in a child of God's life. Most of the time, our growth is going to be steady and it's going to be slow. But it needs to be for sure that you are growing in the grace of God. Now, in Hebrews chapter number 6, I want you to notice what the writer says in verse 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to His saints and do minister." Now, you understand, that's the reason why you work out your own salvation. It is so you can minister to other people, so that you can be a blessing to others. Now, I'll show you that as we get through the message. Look in verse number 11. By the way, God lets you know He's keeping a record. He's keeping a record of what you're doing. And He says, God is not unrighteous to forget or overlook. See, He's not forgetful like you are and I am. And verse 11, "And we desire..." And that we, I'm going to say me and every teacher in this assembly, every preacher in this assembly, every Sunday school teacher in this assembly. "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful." Slothful is a sin. Slothfulness is wickedness. He says, "that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise of God." I preached on this a little bit Wednesday night, on how to get the most out of what you've got. How to get the most out of what you have gotten. You're going to have to, number one, listen well. Look in chapter 5 and look, please, in verse number 11. If anything's going to stunt your Christian growth, it's going to be the fact that you are dull of hearing. Do you listen well? When somebody talks about you, you listen well. Boy, I mean, you perk up. Did you hear what they said about me? Or did you hear what they said about me? But you listen well when you are the main subject. But do you listen well when the Lord Jesus Christ is the main subject? Or are you dull of hearing? Here He is trying to tell them, How wonderful of a high priest. How he is there to intercede for them. How he is touched by their infirmities. How that he tasted death for them. And how that he became human to be able to be tempted like we are. To succor us when we are weak and we face our infirmities. So that we look to Jesus Christ for every solution before we run to someone else. Now notice, he says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. I'm going to tell you that's the truth. If a preacher gets up and preaches on the Antichrist, you fill up the building. You get up and preach on the Lord Jesus Christ and people fall asleep. Because we are dull of hearing. We have itchy ears. Itchy ears. And he says here in verse 12, he said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers. And he is not referring to any particular person. He's referring to every single person. That you should be able to teach someone else the very basics of your faith. At least being able to tell them how the Lord dealt with you and how the Lord saved you and what Christ did on Calvary. That's the very basics, wouldn't you agree? The very basics. And he says here, but you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. We have to keep repeating the basics and keep repeating the basics and keep repeating the basics. Why? He said, because you are dull of hearing. Don't. If you want to grow, I'm talking about really start growing. You walk in that door, you tell yourself, I'm going to train my ear. I'm going to listen. I'm going to really listen. I'm going to really listen. And I'm not listening so I can find fault with his messages. I'm listening so God can speak to my heart. And I'm going to prove all things, and I'm going to hold fast to that which is good that comes from the Word of God. Amen. Learn to listen well, but that's not the only thing. Because if you don't learn to listen well, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to grow. You say, yeah, but I read well. Thank God you can read well. Read. I mean, read your Bible. Read it every day. Read it every single day. But God has manifested His Word through preaching. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And God will increase your faith through preaching. Increase your ability to listen. By the way, hey, you have the opportunity nowadays. You can put on your phone while you're walking or while you're working. And you can listen to sermons, audio. And, I mean, listen to all kind of good preaching. And you can listen to BRN. We support them monthly. Listen to good preaching. Preaching will increase. And by the way, you need all kinds of preaching. I'm talking about Bible-believing preachers. You need, it's sort of like when you go, you know, you sit down to eat. If you let a kid, and we're talking about people who are still babes in Christ and dull of hearing, if you let a kid pick what he wants to eat, he's going to wind up eating the same thing every meal. So a good dad and a good mom says, nah, not this time. You're going to eat this. You're going to eat that. Yes, you are. We had some when they were young. Man, I mean, some of them would hide some of the food in their mouth till they got done with supper and go in the bathroom and spit it out. But do you understand you need different kind of preaching? You know, now listen, I have my own style of preaching. Brother Brian has his own style of preaching. Some of the other men here, Brother John and others, have their own style of teaching and preaching. Don't compare us one to another. We're different trees. We bear different fruit. Good fruit, I hope. But what you do is you take something from each one of them and say, boy, you know, sometimes a man can come through and you say, boy, I sure got a lot out of that. That's a wonderful thing. And sometimes somebody will come through and say, man, I didn't get nothing out of that. Well, I hope that's not true. I hope there was something. Though sometimes it is hard from time to time. But listen to some good preaching. that's out there for you to be able. YouTube can pull up some good preachers, Bible-believing preachers. Don't listen to somebody that is, well, let me just say this. Let me add it to this. Look in chapter 6. Look in verse number 12. It says that you be not slothful, but followers. See, not only do you need to listen well, you need to follow well. You say, well, I don't follow. Well, that's why you're still stunted. That's why you haven't grown. You need to follow some good people, not just anybody. Hebrews 6 says in verse 12, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience. Find somebody that has some faith. That'll increase your faith. Find somebody that believes the promises of God, that doesn't cast doubt on the promises of God. I don't need you to cause me to doubt. I need you to help me to believe. I need you to help me increase my faith. I need, and there are men out there who are nothing but professional doubt inducers. They are interested in people at the altar so they can mark it up. They're interested in people making profession of faith after profession of faith so they can mark it up. Man, I want to kick their behinds, I'm going to tell you, in the name of the Lord. Because they hurt God's people. And they use God's people. I'll try not to have those guys through here, but I'm just telling you, be followers of good men. Listen, God, sometimes not everybody is born into a good environment. I'm talking about born again. And sometimes their growth is stunted because there's no good food at that place. And so the Lord, through His providential hand, will move that person who is hungry and wants to grow and allows them to go into a place where that they are fed well and you see them begin to grow exponentially. That's the way the Lord does. But He's not wanting you to grow just so that you can get big. He's wanting you to grow so you can be a blessing and minister one to another. He doesn't want you just hanging around the trough. He wants you to go out in the pasture and be a blessing. But the Bible says here, be followers. Be follow well. Follow well. Now go with me to 2 Peter. I've got to hit this hard tonight and then we'll go to the house. 2 Peter chapter number 1. You need to learn to listen well. I do listen to men when they preach and sometimes I hear things they don't realize they're even saying. I listen. My wife accuses me of not listening sometimes. Guilty. Not as often as she accuses me of it, but sometimes. 2 Peter chapter number 1. But when I hear a man preach, I'm listening. And sometimes, man, sometimes those guys, they make me want to preach. And then sometimes they make me wish they would sit down and not preach. You understand what I'm saying there, don't you? Are y'all okay? All right, just see if you were listening. 2 Peter chapter number 1. But notice this. The Bible makes it very clear here. Boy, this is some awesome verses. Awesome verses. You ought to read them and reread them and read them and reread them because this right here is the recipe. It is the garden of the blessings of a Christian who grows, and it shows the burdens of the Christian who does not grow. And there are some burdens that come with you if you're lazy, if you're slothful, if you're negligent, if you're dull of hearing. There's going to be some things that are absent in your life, and there's nothing that we're going to be able to do about it if you don't make an effort to do something about it. Because the Lord is only going to allow the church to feed you, baby feed you, baby food, only so long. And God's going to let you suffer some things. I'll show you what I mean by that. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant. That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal of the development of a child of God, is to be a servant. A servant and an apostle. I'm glad he put servant before he put apostle. If you serve the Lord, He will elevate you to the place He wants you to serve. An apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now remember, salvation is completely about the righteousness of God being imputed to your account. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 1 through 3 talks about the Jew and the nation of Israel, how they sought to obtain and to produce their own righteousness and would not submit themselves to the righteousness that God has provided through Jesus Christ. And when you bow your knee, the Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means say the same thing about Him the Bible says about Him, that He is the propitiation for our sins, that God has raised Him from the dead for our justification. Amen. The Bible makes it very clear there that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, He said, thou shalt be what? Saved. Delivered from the wrath of God and delivered from the wages of our sins. What a blessing that is. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Not with the hands does he work for it, but with the heart does man believe unto righteousness. And God imputes it to his account. He says here in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Whatever it is you need, I promise you, God has supplied it. Whatever it is that you have gone through growing up, whatever you have gone through, whatever heartache, whatever sin, whatever background, God has the power to give you what you need to be an overcomer. God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great. You see how he keeps emphasizing this. They're precious. They're great and precious promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Inside of you dwells a divine nature if you are a child of God. The Holy Ghost lives in you. Your body is the temple of God. God dwells in you. That old nature fights against it according to Galatians chapter 5. It wars against it. But that new nature's there. He said, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust and besides this. Here he goes again now with that thing about diligence. He said, giving all diligence. Look in verse 10. Wherefore the brethren give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, the things we're going to talk about, you shall never fall. He's not talking about falling from grace. He's not talking about losing your salvation. He talks about not falling from your steadfastness, your place. Verse 11. Here's one of the awesome things that God will give you. If you listen to me tonight and you wake up and you quit being apathetic, you quit being lethargic, and you practice these things, you say, hey, Lord, forgive me of my sin of slothfulness. Lord, forgive me for neglecting you. And you start doing some things that God wants you to do that He's not going to do for you. He's done some things to you. He's not going to do some things for you. And the Bible says here, he says, look at this. Wasn't this a blessing? Verse 11, for an entrance. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whoa. Do you realize that if you'll do what the Bible says in these few verses, number one, you'll become an asset to the king. And he can put you anywhere and you'll be fruitful and you'll be a blessing. And he said, not only that, but you will have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. You see, some of you maybe be satisfied. You sing that song about, I just want an old cabin on the backside of glory. I don't think you even understand that kind of stuff. Do you realize that some songs are just dumb? There is one door to get into heaven. And it's a person, the Lord Jesus. You have to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. All right. Now, there is no other entrance. But now, wait a minute. He said, once I enter into that, there can be an abundance on the other side. Now, we're all going to die. We're all going to go to glory. We're all going to enter into the kingdom of God. I'm talking about heaven and the glory of God. But I'd like to know that when I get on the other side, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have not forgotten. He said, I'm not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the resurrection, he said, hey, you're working. He said, you're not wasting your time serving the Lord. You're not wasting your time serving the Lord. He said, I'm keeping a record. And he said, if you'll do these things, he said, on the other side, there will be an abundant entrance into the kingdom. An abundant entrance into the kingdom. Now, you can listen to this. This ought to motivate you. It ought to stir you up. Listen, you're only here about this long. You better get busy. Quit wasting your life. And get busy serving the king, because the king's got some goodies on the other side for you if you serve him faithfully. Faithfully. I don't have to be the best to have an abundant entrance. I just got to be faithful. I don't have to be like you. You don't have to be like me. I just got to be the tree that I am and bear fruit so that other people can be blessed. Now watch. Here's what he says. This is just so good. Look again in chapter number 1, talking about being an asset for the king. He says, I want you to add some things to your life. Now, one kind of stacks upon the other. He says in verse number 5, add to your faith virtue. My children and I were discussing this in the living room today. They had done some research this week of trying to find out exactly what that word means, virtue. Did you know the Bible did a good job of defining itself? The word virtue, it has a couple of meanings. You'll find that in Proverbs 31, it gives an excellent illustration of virtue because there is the example of the virtuous woman. It starts off with her virtue being the fact that her husband could safely trust in her. And that she would always, her whole life, do him good. And she had the law of kindness in her lips. And idleness was not a part of her hands. Now we're talking about a virtue here in your heart. We're talking about your attitude and your motive. Because what many folks want to do is add knowledge with the wrong motive. And Paul said many of them are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they are self-serving. Virtue is the key to growth and fruit. Meaning God needs to know what is your motive. Is this just personal ambition? Or do you want to serve the king? Do you want to glorify God? And if so, then you want to know what pleases you, Father? What pleases you? My motive is to honor you. You saved me. Lord, I want to have a pure heart. Didn't Paul tell Timothy to hang around people who called on the Lord with a pure heart? That's virtue. It's a right motive. Our churches are being torn apart and marred across the land because of a lack of virtue. Not a lack of biblical knowledge. There's a lot of information, Bible institutes and colleges galore across America, but there is a lack of virtue, of moral excellence. of integrity, of sincerity, and of a good conscience before the Lord. That's what God's looking for in me and you. If we want to, listen, it doesn't matter your background. Do you understand? When you get born again, you can draw nigh to God and you can give Him your heart. You can start tonight. And say, God, I've wasted enough time. I'm sorry. I want to start again. I want to wake up. I don't want to be in a coma. I don't want to be a zombie. I want you to use me. Please forgive me of being selfish and self-centered and being ambitious rather than being humble and pure in heart. Well, I'll tell you what, you talk about adding to your faith, it's got to start with virtue, because then you can add knowledge to that. Why would God, listen carefully to me now, why would God show you more about His will, give you knowledge of His will, if He knows that your heart's not in it and your motive is not pure? Turn with me quickly. Keep your hand right there. I need to show you something. Look in Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to show you how cyclical this is in your growth. Look in Colossians, please. Look over in chapter number 1. Unless you got your Bible memorized, I want to hear them pages turning. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at this. Talking about knowledge? More than just information. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Look with me in verse number 9. Look at this. This is, again, I don't mean to be redundant tonight, but this is so good. I read this almost every other day in the morning, Brother Lauren, when I get up with my coffee and I'm outside, looking at the blessings of God, if the weather permits. And if not, I get on the front porch. The Bible says in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will." In all wisdom, knowing what to do and how to do it, and spiritual understanding. Why? Well, here comes the virtue. Here comes the heart. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. God, I want to please you today. You get up with that attitude, God's going to reveal some things to you when you read that book. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Look at this. Being fruitful in every good work. Now here's what happens because of that. You will also increase in the knowledge of God. I do want to know more about God, Brother Kenny. I do. I want to grow. I want to increase and know more about God Himself. Okay, well then I'm going to have the right motive as I seek His will. And by the way, understand this now. This goes back to the listening. James chapter 1 verifies this and says, there are people who hear but will not do. The people who hear and do are the ones who will be fruitful and blessed in the Lord. So as I hear it, as I recognize it, what am I going to do with it? If the Lord shows me that I need to love my wife like Christ loved the church, then I'm going to do what pleases the Lord. If the Lord tells me that I need to call you up and apologize to you, that I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do because I want to please Him. If He wants me to give $500 or $1,000 for this cause, and I know that's what He wants me to do and it pleases Him, then I will do that to please Him. You understand, this is the way this works. I flip back over in 2 Peter chapter 1 real quick because we're running out of time. And I need to show you something that's... I'm going to skim over these real fast so that you can see something that's very dangerous if you don't listen to me, if you don't follow that. When I say listen to me, you know what I mean by that. If you don't listen to the preaching of the Word tonight. 2 Peter chapter number 1, he says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, What a blessing it is when you come to church and say, man, I've never seen that before. It might be because you're in a different place. I don't mean geographically. I'm talking about you're in a place where you'll listen. To knowledge temperance. And see, when you increase in the knowledge of the will of God and in the knowledge of God, it's amazing to me how you don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost anymore. And you don't want to do anything in excess anymore. And so when God gives you liberty to enjoy something, you don't want to love pleasure more than you love God. And God can trust you with things now and liberties with things now because you want to please God. You don't allow those toys. You don't let what you have to become a stumbling block. Temperance. And your family notices that now that you're different in respect that you're not just giving in to the lust of your flesh and the desires of your flesh, but you're restraining and constraining yourself. You want to be in church on Sunday. You want to read your Bible now. And you want to listen to the Lord and pay attention to Him. And you want to see His face more than to Facebook. Amen. Now notice what He says. He says temperance, and to temperance, patience. Oh, you want to see the hand of God? You got to be patient. God's not going to work on your time schedule. And I'll tell you now, what I've learned overall, God works slow. But He works sure. And you'll see God work. Be patient. Even in your own life. By the way, you got to be patient. Brother Oakley, in three particular areas, you got to be patient with yourself. Because you'll get frustrated if you don't grow as fast as you see somebody else growing or doing what other people are doing. Maybe you're a different kind of tree. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with other people in the assembly. Like Brother Kenny had told me about that particular tree. He worked on for about 5 to 7 years and it brought forth fruit. There are some people that are on the verge of really, really just exploding with growth and fruit because there's been work been done around those trees in this place, and they're just waiting for God to use them. And it might surprise you who it is. You don't know what's going on behind the scene. You are not omnipotent and omniscient. You don't know how God is stirring around in people's lives and what they're doing and what they're changing. And the Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter number 1, he says, this is interesting, he says, and to patience godliness, that's God-likeness. You'll become the God that you worship in this sense. Not like the Mormons believe, but in the sense that godliness, what is true godliness? What is true holiness? What does Ephesians 4 say? That there is something called true holiness. You put away that lying and that stealing and grieving the Holy Ghost and running your mouth and criticizing people all the time. When maybe there's a family over here that's been praying for a loved one, and that loved one starts trying to get right with God and starts showing up at church, and maybe you've got a burr in your saddle about that family, and you start running your mouth, and you're actually pushing away what that family's been praying for years. God said a godly spirit won't do that. A Holy Spirit won't do that. A Holy Spirit will say, I know that parent's been praying for that son. I know that parent's been praying for that daughter. And I rejoice that God has chosen to do something for them. I pray He'll do the same for me. Amen. That thing about godliness. I was talking to someone this afternoon about they had a difficult time forgiving someone who had not repented. Had not even acknowledged that he'd done anything wrong. And what they'd done was evil, wicked, violent, and scarred people. I said, godliness is being ready to forgive when somebody repents and turns. Being ready to forgive when that time occurs. Godliness. Look in verse 7, brotherly kindness. Now, let me tell you something, the difference, Brother Jared, between kindness and brotherly kindness. A lot of people can be kind for the wrong reason. Maybe you own a company and I want a job. So I'm attending church. I've heard preachers tell me this, that a lot of men that move to a different city, they go to the First Baptist Church because that's where all the businessmen are. So they go there and they start being kind and nice to the rich men in there so they get a job. That's not brotherly kindness. If I'm kind to you because I want something, that's the wrong kind. Brotherly kindness is me being kind to you because I love you, regardless of how you treat me back or whether I get anything back out of you or not. I am going to be kind to you. It's amazing what kindness can do for people. Just a little kindness, a brotherly kindness. I got to hurry here. And then, of course, the main goal, according to what Paul told Timothy, here's the end of the commandment, is having that pure heart and that unfeigned faith and charity. Charity is godly love in shoe leather, 1 Corinthians 13. We don't have time to go there, but you can measure your love life right there in 1 Corinthians 13. All right. But look in verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, boy, I want them to be in me. I want them to abound. He said, if they abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice in verse number 9, in other words, you become an asset for the king, useful and fruitful, useful and fruitful. You say, God, please use me. God, please use me. God says, I want to use you, but I need you to quit being so negligent and slothful. I need you to add to your faith. I need you. I need you to do some things. I need you to work out some things in your life. Look in verse 9. Look at this. Now you'll notice the dangers if you don't. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Isn't that an interesting statement? If I did not believe in eternal security, I could build me a pretty good case that you could lose your salvation on a few verses that I find in the Bible. I could. But I don't think this is one of them. That blind and cannot see afar off. You have what the physicians call myopic vision. It is all up here and temporary and about you. The words there is talking about like a person walking around in a thick fog that you can't see very far. Look what he says. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. How in the world can you forget? I'll tell you what James chapter 1 says. If you come to church and you hear the word of God and you won't do the word of God, he said you'll become a forgetful hearer. How many times in the book of Psalms does it say, and they forgot, and they forgot God, and they forgot? I think what it means is that if you don't add some things to your faith, it's going to be like some men who... There are some couples who have stood at an altar and they have had wonderful wedding ceremonies. But there's something that happens over the years because they do not work at their marriage. And there's something that is lost in the essence of what happened that day, to where that even once in a while, one of them even violates some of the vows and promises that were made right there at that point. And there are some believers who believe in eternal security, but they're always doubting their salvation. And here's the danger of that. It's because you're lazy, because you're slothful, because you lack diligence and you don't listen very well, and you won't do what you've been instructed to do. You wait for an emotional experience to get back what you lost at that moment. And you ride on that feeling, and so when you're in a revival meeting and things are being stirred up in the service, you feel like because things are not going well, you need to be saved. You weren't, quote, really saved. So you make another profession of faith. Then you get emotionally stirred up again, but because you're lazy and you lack diligence and you won't do what you're told, then it's gone in a few years, you're going right back where you were. Then there's another revival meeting. There's some more emotional services and the singing is great and people are getting saved. And you say, well, I tell you, it didn't stick with me the second time, but maybe it will the third time. And this time I really got saved. But you won't add to your faith. So you struggle with the assurance of your salvation. Just like you struggle with your marriage. Just like you struggle in other areas of your life. I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm not trying to make you feel about that big. I'm trying to tell you that there's hope for you. But you are going to have to confess the wickedness of the sin of laziness and lack of diligence and slothfulness that is in your heart. Don't be like the slothful man who refuses to bring his hand up to his mouth. You say, well, I try to read my Bible, I just don't get anything out of it. Well, it could be because you don't want to do it. And if you approach it with wanting to do it, it might open up to you. You know what James said, do it or lose it. I'm not talking about your salvation. When you hear it, you become a forgetful hearer because you won't apply it. And so you'll lose that. I call this group here not the asset for the king, but the apathetic Christian. Short-sighted, temporary, struggling with assurance. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Because, you know, here's the problem. Is you make us doubt whether or not you're saved. Because there's no fruit. You're barren. And God didn't make you and save you to be barren. And so now we wonder. Not only are you wondering, we're wondering. Don't make us bury you wondering. Isn't that right? Look in verse number 10. He said, wherefore the rather, brethren, he's talking to brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That just simply means search the scriptures. Look at 1 John, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. There are people actually that have been in hospitals for sometimes months, even years, in what is called a coma. And they're actually alive. But if you were to walk in there, you wouldn't think they were alive. And then a miracle occurs. Something happens and they come out of it. Some of them have done it, have been there for years and come out of it. And I'm saying that if you are a born-again child of God, come out of it. Amen. You say, well, I don't know how to come out of it. Well, I guess the person in the coma might be hearing some things and don't know how to come out of it. But if you can reach your hand over and push that button, reach over and push that button tonight and say, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, please help me. Please renew my vision and my heart and my mind and my spirit. Confess your sin to God that you have neglected the great salvation that God has given to you. Man, we need you. Jesus came upon a tree, used this parable of a tree that didn't have any fruit on it, the fig tree. He said, let's, and the owner, he gave you a parable that they were going to cut it down. He said, The owner said, no, let's don't cut it down yet. Let's dig around it. Let's dung around it. Let's put some fertilizer on it. And let's give it about maybe 3 more years. He's talking about Israel. And let's see if there's any fruit. Then if there's no fruit there, then we'll cut it down. But at some point, there should be some common fruit that comes out of you concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. How do we know we've passed from death unto life? We love the brethren. How do we know a baby's doing well? Always wanting to eat. If your children don't have an appetite, you're worried, right? Something's wrong with them. And if you're a born-again child of God, you should want to be in church, should have your Bible, you should be there ready. As many chances as you get to the table. Get some food in you and grow and grow and grow. Don't be apathetic. This is the danger of our nation, that our youth and our young people and our young adults, I don't know and I don't care. That's a great danger. But in closing, I want you to look with me in Romans 13 and let's pray and go to the house. Remember, I read to you now in verse 11. If you'll do these things, you won't fall. You'll have an abundant entrance. But look in Romans 13. Let's pray and go to the house. Cindy, would you come to the piano, please, for just a moment? And this is just an altar invitation that maybe you'd come, commit yourself to the Lord, and say, God, please, 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 God, forgive me in my heart for being slothful and not adding to my faith, not making an effort with my Christianity the way that I should. God's given you everything that you need to overcome the lust of your flesh, the pride of your heart, and your eyes. God has given us the... Man, I don't win every day, but I don't lose every day either. I want God, and I want to win more days than I lose. Oh, I remember, oh, how I remember. Like it was yesterday, after I got born again, and God just gave me great emotion and victory over some things, and I thought, man, I am free. And then about a few months later, I sinned against the Lord. Oh, I remember going to the altar and pouring my heart out to God and asking Him to forgive me. And He did, but I couldn't forgive myself because I had not yet learned 1 John 2:1 and 1 John 1:9 that God is faithful and just to forgive. That if I would simply confess it, He would forgive me. And sometimes we have difficulties forgiving ourselves for our sin, where we've messed up. Oh, I want you to know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. All sin, all sin. He doesn't always save us from the consequences of it. But boy, He will forgive you, cleanse you, let you pull up next to Him and be back in communion and fellowship. Look in Romans 13 and we're done. Look at this. He said in verse number 11, and that knowing the time, I've noticed that slothful and lazy people usually don't know what time it is. Knowing the time that now it is high time. You ever heard that? Well, it's about high time you did something. That's where this comes from. It's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe, meaning Christ will soon appear. Verse 12, the night is far spent. Your life's almost over. The day is at hand. The day of judgment. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That looks like effort to me. Verse 13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day. There's that virtue. Not in rioting and drunkenness. That's who you're following, who you're hanging around, who's influencing you, who's robbing you of bearing fruit. Not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. If the people that are impacting you and influencing you are stunting your growth, you have got to cut some ties with them. Verse 14, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. I pray the Holy Ghost will deal with you about these matters. I pray tonight that you'd say, Lord, I want to be different. Lord, I want to grow. Lord, I want to bear fruit for you. Please help me tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, thy servant has delivered the message you have placed on my heart. God, forgive me if I have said anything out of the way. But Lord, instead I pray that you'd use me to stir up the saints of God. Lord, that they might, Lord, get everything out of what they've got. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed, would you obey the Holy Spirit if he spoke to your heart about anything tonight, please?